New World Witchery is a Patreon-supported podcast. This episode is brought to you by all of our patrons. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to support us. We're so grateful for the support we've had and continue to have through our Patreon community. If you'd like to support the show and help make it better, you can throw $1 a month or whatever you can afford into our hat at patreon.com/newworldwitchery. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and to all of our listeners.
Are you looking for magic? Maybe magic that lives right where you do?
If so, join us aboard our broomsticks and ride with us from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Yukon to the Yucatan, and find magic that's right outside your front door or just off of Route 66.
Whether you're in the Windy City or the Crescent City, the city that never sleeps, or the city of brotherly love, we've got enchantment for you.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane, and this is New World Witchery.
This episode, we're going to be recapping our experience at Mystic South 2023.
Hello, Lane.
Hello. Sorry, that's okay. I sound weird.
That's okay. I mean, we're going to sound weird on this one anyway, because we are actually live in the same room, which is a little unusual.
Very. And my voice is going. It was already bad from being sick, so I just sound really fun.
Yes. And you just woke up like 30 minutes ago, so.
Don't out me like that.
They don't know what time of day it is.
Oh, that's true.
It's 4:30 in the morning for all they know. We've been out partying all night.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yes, we're coming to you live. You're not actually live, but we're recording this live at Mystic South 2023, which is an annual convention done in Atlanta, where they put on basically two sides of a sort of witchy conference. One side is kind of gathering practitioners and authors and things like that to talk about different practical aspects of witchcraft. And then the other side of that is there's an academic side where people will talk about things like history, cultural analysis, just kind of doing the sort of the academic approach to witchcraft. And this year, they asked me to be their academic keynote speaker. So I'm doing two academic presentations, and then we did kind of a fun thing as well. So I was kind of headlining on that one. And I believe Nadja Lightfoot was their headliner on the other side of it, although they had so many great people.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
On that side of it. It was wonderful this year. So we did this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great time.
Yeah, a lot of great people that we met last year were presenting this year.
Yeah.
That was great for them.
Yeah, it was really, really wonderful. Do we want to talk a little bit about some of the presentations we got to see?
Yeah, let's see. What was our first one? We've been to quite a few, and now I'm forgetting. I've slept since then.
Yeah, so. I know. And that's how it is at all these conventions. It's like things will start to kind of run together and be a bit of a blur. I know I went to one the first day. Mine was an 8 a.m. and then I had a book signing. And then I think you joined me for one that day.
Why can we not remember?
Yeah, I mean, well, let's talk about the ones we do remember. Okay. I'll look at the schedule really quickly and figure out. No. It's been a minute since we did all this. So I know for sure that we went to Laura Tempest-Zakharoff's visual alchemy workshop, right?
Yep, that was cool.
Yeah, that was neat. That's a very kind of art-oriented, her approach is this kind of looking at art as a sort of form of magic and how do you sort of weave those two things together. And I still remember we did an exquisite corpse exercise, which was really fun.
That was really fun. I was hesitant. I did not want to do it because I don't like other people like seeing my drawing or whatever, I guess. But that was the point, you know, so.
Yeah, it was supposed to be trash. We were all making trash, but it was great. It was really, really fun.
But we ended up with like hairy bear legs with duck feet. It was pretty funny.
It was chicken head with duck feet. And a woman's face, too. I just showed Lane bad lip reading for the first time. So for those who don't know that, it's worth checking out.
Worth checking out.
So we did that one.
We also did one with Nausea Lightfoot about doll magic. And she kind of spoke about some of her experiences with doll magic and finding, you know, particular dolls that she brought with her. That was neat.
Yeah, she had some really neat ones there. I know you were really excited because you're a doll collector as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's really fun. We did a session, I think this is one of the first ones we did on Friday, which was Raising Bairns, which was about doing, you know, how do you raise children in an environment where they're going to be acclimated to being open to magical spiritual systems and things like that. And that was really interesting. The people there had kind of lived internationally and experienced a lot of different things.
So. Right. Had really fun accents.
Very fun accents.
They're like, if they're listening, they're like, really, that's all you took? No, absolutely not. But that is, I'm an American. Really, it's fun to comment about. It
is. Yes. I know, because so that one of the places they had lived was Australia.
Yeah.
And so there was a good bit of Australian accent in there. And you're also a huge fan of Bluey.
So, I'm sorry.
No, don't I'm be sorry. Annoying. It's a great show. But there's definitely, I could kind of see in your eyes every once in a while, you sort of drift off into the distance and hear the like, don't get me wrong, I was doing it too. So.
No, but it was a great talk to listen to and to think about afterwards.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And I went to Keldon's Witchcraft and the Devil talk, which was wonderful, really, really great.
And that was at 8 a.m. So I did not attend.
It was either 8 a.m. or 9:30 or something like that. Yeah, it was some like early hour.
Aiming.
Yeah. But you'd had trouble sleeping the night
I
before.
Did, yeah, unfortunately.
So, but that's fair enough. But yeah, and that was a really, really good talk. I always love hearing Keldon speak. And that was a very, very informative one.
Yeah, I wish I'd been able to go to that one.
Yeah, and I'm sure that we're missing some in here because I haven't slept since then. But we did a lot of different workshops. And there's a lot of like social hours and stuff like that that we're kind of bouncing between. But it was really fun. It was really, really fun. And this is the thing, is like one of the real challenges of this is which workshop do you go to? Which class do you go to?
Exactly. Because so many are, you know, have to be scheduled at the same time and you have to choose one basically because you can only be in one place.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes you just have to pick and hope for the best and, you know, just be sorry you missed the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, Laura's was right up against, Hera Michelle's astrology one, which is another one. It's like, well, I don't really know how you pick cause there's both going to be good, but that's, I mean, part of the reason you do the repeats is so that you can see
exactly
see what people are doing next year. So,
yeah,
but yeah, so it was a lot of fun. It was a really, really good series of workshops and that's just the workshop component. There's also, I should mention, a merch room.
Yes, which we went through, I think, 3 times.
Yeah. May go through again. I don't know. We'll have to see how the day goes. Lots of really cool stuff. You found a couple things that were just amazing.
Yeah. Well, first I stopped and spoke to Carmanda, an artist and also podcast host.
Yes. So she's one of the co-hosts of the What the Folklore podcast, which I've mentioned before. But if you like folklore, but just wish it was a little more like Mystery Science Theater 3000 with people commenting on how ridiculous things were. That's the podcast for you.
It's yeah, that is great. Because last year I got a couple prints from her and one of them just really kind of struck both me and my husband. We just really liked it. And he ended up getting it tattooed on him. You know, he messaged her and was like, hey, can I do this with your artwork? And PayPal'd her, paid her for her work. And I don't know. I just kind of was like, hey, that was me. I like your stuff. You know, I see it every day.
Yeah.
And that was just fun to say hi.
She's very sweet. Like, I'm sure she was a little bashful about that. But like, she's a very sweet person and very talented as an artist.
Absolutely.
Her stuff is like, I think you said like, it's kind of like Frog and Toad. And I was kind of like, yeah, it's like Frog and Toad if it were in a Tim Burton film almost.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. There's just something about it I really love.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Very cozy.
Cozy with just a little twist to it, which is the fun of it.
Yeah.
I dig that. My publisher, actually, Heather Green, or my editor, I should say, she and her family had a booth that had these amazing tarot boxes.
Yeah, they have like working parts to where you, when you open the box, it kind of lifts up an inner portion that holds a full tarot deck and kind of presents it to you when you open it. It was really neat.
Yeah. All it needs is lights and a little sound to play like as it emerges. It's really cool, but they're very cool. They're really well made.
That was neat.
Then you found a really great booth where they were selling some like great, like bone based stuff.
Yeah. And I was, because she said, oh, that's black cat bones. And I made a face because I was like, well, oh, how did you get that? Mm-hmm. And she had a whole story. And she said it was her barn cat that she called Friendly Cat because it was kind of part of a feral colony. And it was one of the only ones, or it was the only one that would let her touch it. And then, so when it passed, she was able to save the bones and, you know, use whatever she could from him. And I just thought that was really nice. And when you hear about black cat bones, they're usually really unethically sourced.
Right.
So I was really happy to support that. And she also had many other bones that were from named animals on her farm that she knew exactly where they came from. And, you know, I asked her, is this hard to kind of give away these pieces of your animals that you were almost like pets? Yes, they're farm animals, but when you name them, you know, you get to know them. And, she said no, because their story gets to live on and they go out there and you're going to remember that that was my cat. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I absolutely will.
Yeah. So. And we're sharing it out to the world as well.
Yeah. So I just thought that was really neat.
Yeah. She had a big like bull scapula as well from a bull. And we got a story about that bull kind of just showing up next to her truck right before she was about to teach a class online or something.
Right. Yeah. She's a physicist at the University of Arkansas, I believe she said.
Yes. Which is interesting. So she's also going to, she's got a book coming out next year.
Yeah. About weather magic, but it's not just like woo woo. It's, you know, it's the physics as well.
Right. She's a physicist.
She is a physicist. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, it's really unfortunate because we can't remember exactly what her name is.
I'm reasonably sure her last name is Burris, B-U-R-R-I-S-S.
But we're not 100%, so don't quote us on
but,
that.
But when we see that book come out, we will be...
Yeah, we'll talk about it for sure.
Because I'm very excited about what she's doing there.
Yeah, me too.
So that was great. That was Sticks and Stones was the name of the shop?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and they're based out of Arkansas. And like it's definitely like a kind of wild crafted bones and sticks and stuff kind of shop. It's great.
Yeah, really neat.
We also bumped into MK Holloway. They are the ones who do the Doodle Tarot, which I picked up last year when it was kind of in its first printing. And I've used repeatedly since then. They basically use like a paint program on their phone to recreate all of the tarot using just kind of doodles. And it makes it incredibly easy to pick up messages and pick up the meanings of the cards. It's a good like training deck. For people who want to learn tarot, but
I believe they said they're in their like third printing now, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But also they're doing a new one where it's color your own. So they're taking out all the color from the previous deck. And that way you can doodle your own in your own color. And I think that's really neat. So you could make it as, you know, complicated or as simple as you wanted it. And we just wanted to give that a little bump, I guess, in case anybody's interested, because that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's another way, like, I mean, using the Doodle Tarot, I think is a really wonderful way to learn the card meanings. But if you're actually coloring them in yourself, you can do some of that, that work. And so you're now in the cards, but then also you're picking up the meanings as you do it.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
Yeah. So, so that was a good one. And then Lane's opening there.
Trying to be quiet. I don't know if it's picked up or not.
No. I'm sitting here with my super loud water bottle. So, Laura Tempest-Zakharoff, whose workshop, the Visual Alchemy workshop we went to, we also stopped by her booth because she's an artist, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked up some really cool stuff there.
She had such a cute idea. She called it Basem Buddies, which still gets me. And it's just a bunch of animals that I like riding on broomsticks. Like there's a hare and there's a little snail on one broomstick and there's crow and a possum with the babies on her back. And yeah, I just loved it. So. Yeah. I picked up a little tea towel of that.
Yeah. And I got a bunch of stickers that I'm going to be probably give my kids a couple of them, but I'm going to put one of them on that possum is almost guaranteed to go on the back of my
computer. The possum is so fun.
So great. And I mean, she's such a talented artist. And I think I picked up like four or five things from her. Mm-hmm. So, and you got me a cool deck of, I can't remember the artist, unfortunately, but we'll try to link them in the show notes. The round playing card deck.
Yeah, it was a playing card deck that was just a circle. And I was like, oh, Corey has to have that.
Yeah, thank you for that. It was really cool. So we did, I mean, there's a, you know, I think we're missing some stuff in there. Like there was that great broom maker. She had some really amazing brooms.
Yes. The place with all the plants and the skulls.
Skulls was so great. Yeah, I think I picked up a really cool little like mini talking board from that.
Yeah, it was like a pendulum board. Or you could be used as that as well. Yeah,
it's reversible, so you can use the dark or the light side of it. Which
is cool. That is neat.
Yeah, so just, I mean, great vendors. And the thing is, it's not like, you know, and this is no shame on anybody who, you know, winds up going to like shops and buying this kind of stuff. But like a lot of it's like the Azure Green stuff that you can kind of source from these big companies and right. people just kind of resell it. And these are pretty much all local small vendors
mm-hmm. who are making this themselves and then putting it out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to make a living. And I like supporting that.
It was really cool. And like so many of them are like queer or like MK Holloway is a queer card deck designer. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate, you know, supporting the queer community or, you know, minority communities in general that are kind of producing here. So also there was a great, there's a big old book room at the back. Mm-hmm. So lots of, if you're looking for books, there's a bunch there. I had got to do a signing. That was one of the things that I did was a book signing back there. Mm-hmm. Which, did you happen to come by while I was doing, you did, right?
Towards the end, yes.
Yeah.
That was when we accidentally dressed alike that day.
That's hilarious.
So Corey woke up super early because he's an early riser mm-hmm. and got dressed and went to his early talk. And I'm sleeping away the whole time, right? And I get up and I'm like, all right, I'm getting dressed. I'm wearing a black shirt dress, just simple. And Corey is wearing a black button down and black pants. And the funniest part is you had orange Keds mm-hmm. and my toenails were painted like this orangey color. And so we really looked like we matched in a weird kind of way.
Kind of cult kind of thing.
Somebody commented on Instagram, like, one, are you not in a cult? And two, many other people will be wearing all black. And we were like, yeah, good points.
It doesn't make it look less like a cult, but it does make it look like our cult's pretty popular. So that's pretty good.
Well, we also decided, because we went out to lunch, we decided we looked like we were hosts from the Cheesecake Factory going on lunch break. Yeah. That was our cover.
Yep. And it works. It's great. Yeah, it was definitely, it was a lot of fun. So that was a lot of fun. If you follow us on Instagram, you can see photos of all that. So
yeah,
we've actually taken quite a few photos this weekend.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. But, and I did a book signing and got very inky stained hands, because signed quite a few books, got to meet a lot of really cool people in that process.
Yeah, that's amazing. Actually,
that's what I love about it is mm-hmm. like, you get to talk to people about their experiences and such.
Yeah, same. I love to hear new stories and add new things to my repertoire.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, and then I guess we should talk about the kind of our workshops too.
Yeah. So, well, you talk about your classes, and then we'll talk about the one we did together.
Sure. Okay. So I actually got one that we still haven't done because I'm kind of one of the last presentations here. We're doing this on Sunday, and we have to check out of the hotel room and everything before this, but. Mm-hmm. But the first one I did was on an annotated history of the Silent Supper, also called, and I'm just using the terminology from the historical text, the Dumb Supper, although that is obviously not something we would want to call it a lot now.
Right. Words change.
Yes.
Mute people are not dumb in the modern context of the word.
Yes. So that's a whole thing. And I do talk about that in the talk. I talk about like, hey, this is, there's, we're looking at able, and there's a lot of like gender biased language that comes along with the folklore from the past too. So we talk about that, but then I was kind of just doing an annotated history of that, following it from this ritual, the St. Agnes Eve ritual that was done in England and Scotland, and then kind of following that through to kind of modern iterations and how it's kind of become this festival for the dead celebration, but also lives on in kind of kids folklore too. And got some interesting feedback from the audience that actually I think is going to be very helpful, because there were some things that I needed to expand on, and they pointed some of those out, which was really nice. And then the one I'm doing this afternoon is called The Witch's Ire, which is all about, you know, when you have in folktales witches cursing people, most of the time there's a good reason for it. And so I'm doing kind of an economic examination of, you know, why do witches curse people? Well, it's because they're hoarding resources and in a world where, like,
not the witches.
No. Yeah. Like, it's the haves and have nots, right? And the witches are usually on the have not side of things. And so it's interesting. Most of these folk tales, when you hear them, like, people are like, yeah, that witch really cursed that person, but they kind of deserved it because they're not living up to their end of the social contract. So, you know, talk about that.
Yeah.
But our most popular thing, well, I don't know. We haven't done this talk in this afternoon, but I have a feeling it's not going to be my most popular thing. Our most popular thing, I'm pretty sure, is going to be what we did on Friday night.
Yeah. And that was the prognostication pajama party. Now, I want to say this was all Corey. Like, I was helping. I came to help wrangle people, basically, and not have it just descend into chaos. But you had all the games. You printed out, like, these big posters, basically, but ended up being really helpful because many people could look at them at the same time. It wasn't like, you know, trying to share little handouts or anything. There were these giant laminated posters with the games on them, and people really had fun with it. We did Ouija, and people had some meaningful, you know, communication.
Yeah.
We did Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. Uh-huh. We did Charlie. Uh-huh. What are some other ones? Because, again, these are yours.
Oh, well, Sarah Sarita. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I should say, like, one of the things that I did was I had these posters, and the posters were instructional and kind of provided you with some good guidance on how to do the games.
Right.
But at the very beginning, I talked about, like, hey, okay, so we're going to look at some of these games. These are games that have been played, like, in some cases, for over 300 years in North America. So one of them is the Venus Glass, which famously was played in Salem. Mm-hmm. As, you know, kind of a precursor to the witch trials. So we looked at, like, all these different games. I sort of said, like, okay, so here's this game. Here's kind of its historical precedent. Ouija board, like, I've talked about the fact that Ouija boards weren't really all that scary in the way people thought about them until the 1950s and 60s when things like The Exorcist came out. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of looking a little bit of history, but really it was just like 15 minutes of history. And then an hour and a half of, like, let's play these games.
Yeah. And we did.
Yeah. And so we did that. We did the Red Book game, which is a bibliomancy game. We did Sarah Sarita, which is kind of like Charlie or Ouija board, where you contact the spirits and get responses.
But you're doing this with coin flips instead of pencils or anything like that. Yeah, sort of talking board.
And I think people actually enjoyed that one pretty well. Mm-hmm. Then we did the elevator game, which is you get on an elevator and you try to take an elevator to, like, a mystical portal to another world. No, but everybody came back. Everybody seems like they're fine. So we did that one. I'm trying to think if there was any others. I think those are kind of the main ones that we did, but it was a really fun thing. And
We made fortune tellers.
Oh yes. Yeah. You guided people on how to make the little paper fortune teller.
That was fun.
Like, cootie catchers.
Yes. Or some people call them cootie catchers. But the little, you know, you put your hands out and pick a color, pick a number. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it was really fun because some people came up and they were like, I've not made one in 30 years. Help refresh my memory. And the minute we started folding, they're like, oh, I remember this. And they were just able to boom, boom, do it. And then a couple guys came up and they were like, I always saw girls making these in middle school or whatever.
Yes.
I never learned. Can you teach me?
Yeah.
And I did. And it was so fun. And it was the first time he'd ever made one. It was a little bit wonky, but he did a great job, and it made me happy. And it was funny because I hope I'm okay to, like, you know, say this. I'm sure I am. And his name was Charlie, and I kept remembering that because of Charlie, the right. game.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, Charlie, not to call you out like that.
That's all right. Charlie.
But it was fun. I really enjoyed that part of it. Just kind of seeing, like, the remembrance on people's faces, like, oh yeah, this is fun. And I think that was part of the fun of it, is remembering, like, being that age, like, being kind of middle school age. Mm-hmm. And middle school was really rough on me, but there were some good memories with, you know, sleepovers and things like that with just friends that you could trust. And yeah, so that was really great.
And it's oftentimes people's kind of first foray into playing with the occult. Right?
That's very true. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, like, we may be interested in magic at a younger age, but this is the first time that you kind of get a chance to be like, well, let's break out the Ouija board and see what happens. Right?
Yeah. It's the first time I think you feel a little scared by it, maybe. Mm-hmm. And that's fun, especially because you're sharing it with people your age.
Yes. There's a social bonding component too.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about that as part of the sort of introduction to it, but it was clearly incredibly well liked. People mm-hmm. really had a good time. Not to like toot our own horns, but like
it was fun.
It was really fun. And people have already started like talking to us about like, hey, do you want to do this again in the future? Mm-hmm. Which totally.
Yeah. Right? Oh, so. And we had sleepover snacks. And yeah. those went over well.
The Swedish fish were incredible.
Swedish fish, and the Oreos. Yeah. That was really
those
fun.
Those are the big ones. we tried to provide like slightly healthy options with some Skinny Pop and stuff.
Right.
We still have a lot of Skinny Pop.
We left. Still have a lot. the Oreos demolished.
That was great. It was a lot of fun. Oh my goodness. So yeah, we had a really good time. That was definitely a highlight in terms of like what we got to participate in and do. Mm-hmm. Was that. But then we also got to do some fun stuff last night. We went to a couple of soirees, right?
Yes. Let's see. We went to the Phoenix Ball. Well, that was second. What was the first one called?
Corsets and Ties.
Corsets and Ties.
House of Witchcraft was the one hosting that.
Yeah. So. And there were a lot of corsets there.
Yeah.
I opted more for like a Regency style type of modern dress. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Met a lot of really interesting witches. Talked a lot of Buffy, which was fun.
Yep. Always good. Yeah. Well, yeah, we met Anya, she's going to be doing a book on, I think, yoga and witchcraft coming mm-hmm. up.
That was really nice to talk to her. She was very sweet.
She was very sweet. Yeah.
I mean everybody was, you know, it's.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And Taryn, who runs House of Witchcraft, mm-hmm. has done several books on kind of like Southern folk magic.
Yeah. She was really nice to talk to.
Very nice. Yes. Had amazing lipstick too.
I was just thinking that. Lipstick. It was like dark blue. Yeah.
So great.
Love it.
yes. It was a fun. It was like just a little sweet party. And they had come up with their own like cocktail for the night and everything. They had virgin and non-virgin versions of it, which I really appreciate when people make both options available.
Me too.
So that you're not like obligated to drink. Like I don't mind having a drink here and there.
Right.
But I'm not a heavy drinker at this point in my life.
Same. Yeah. But I don't want to come off as like a teetotaler or anything either.
Right. Like I'm not saying like, you know, you should only have that. No, it's nice to have both options.
Right. Yeah.
We're very both and sort of people.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So Phoenix Ball.
Yeah. So then we went there and that was like a much different vibe. The music was a lot louder. There was a dance floor. People were really dancing. And we were like, well, I said, I'm not drunk enough to dance unless it's like a really good 90s song. And then I was hucking to my mom and Jump Around came on.
Yes, for Cypress Hill. Oh, we had a good time with that.
So we were like, yeah, this is 90s enough. So we went in, we jumped around a little bit. And then I think we danced to like Boogie Shoes, maybe.
Yeah.
And then we were like, all right, we're done.
Pretty good.
We went to bed.
Yes. But my editor who was there, she was dancing. She was having a great time. She was so fun. But she also had her little Black Phillip goat doll.
Yes.
And I was like, can I pet your Black Phillip goat doll? She's like, okay. And then she got a photo of it. So I think she's getting a whole photo gallery of people with Black Phillip.
Oh, we should talk about the silly TikTok that we made with Thorne and everybody.
Yes. Yeah, so Thorne and Thumper and Keldon. Was there anything
Nicholas.
Else? And Nicholas. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Pearson, yes. We were all kind of sitting around at this table.
Just chatting, being silly.
Yeah, because we'd all hung out last year and we had a really good time. Mm-hmm. Like it's like the whole point of Thorne's TikTok that she did was like, hey, I'm sitting at this table with people who are folk practitioners, people who are traditional witches, people who are Wiccans, people who are from different paths. And you know what? We are all getting along just fine.
Isn't that crazy?
And I love that. Like the sentiment of that's really sweet. And then Thumper was like, okay, we're going to do one where we say that and then we're going to start fighting.
It was so funny. Because we were so awkward. We were like, what do we fight about? And we had, I don't know, like lines and somebody, was it Keldon that said, where's your white sage now, Wiccan?
Yes, where's your white sage now, Wiccan? Yeah, I think they had me say, Wicca's appropriating from true witchcraft or something like that.
And I just said, you're all in it for the money.
But it's all staged. It's really silly. But yeah, if you go on TikTok, I'm sure you can find
it. Oh, it was fun. It was hilarious. Yeah, I've never done anything like that. So it was really funny for me.
Yeah. No, it was cute. That's the kind of the feel of it here is, you know, it's a very relaxed, very pleasant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to relax and have fun with several members of our listener community. Some folks from the Discord server who had come here, Seven Curses, Becky and Kells, all showed up and we could sit and like have drinks with them and like hang out. It was so fun.
It was really neat. It was I don't know. I get like awkward talking about this because I don't ever want to sound like, oh, we're so great and people came to see us. You know, I don't want it to sound like that, but it was really neat meeting people who we've interacted with online for so long, and they are such an integral part of our Discord group. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so active and everything. And it's appreciated. They're loved, and it's just, I don't know.
It's wonderful.
It is.
Yeah. Seven Curses organizes our Secret Compass every year.
Mm-hmm, which is our response to Secret Santa.
Right. Yeah. But it's great. It's all like handmade, you know, personalized mm-hmm. stuff. That's like really like, but there's a very specific, like anti-capitalist almost kind of bent to it, where it's like spend as little as possible, but make something fun.
Right.
And I love that. And so that was really, really, it was just nice to hang out. And like, I think one of the kind of cool things about this is like, so we definitely saw people here that we kind of fangirl, fanboy over, mm-hmm. and we kind of squee about.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where like, I think people kind of feel that way about us sometimes when they bump into us, but then like getting to actually sit and talk to people very, very quickly, I think all of us are like, you know what? All of us are just human.
Right.
And we could have human conversations. And that was what was so great. We got to hear some great stories from
everybody,
all of our listeners. It was just, oh, yeah, so wonderful. I really loved that.
Yeah, we were basically just talking about how like we've kind of helped build up a community with, you know, everyone in the community mm-hmm. since they're part of it. And we need more of that. And yeah, I'm really happy and proud to be a part of our little community.
I'm incredibly proud of the community because like I'm not always on that Discord all the time.
Same, unfortunately.
But the community keeps it going.
Like, yeah. And we can trust that it's not descending into like nastiness either, yeah. You know?
No, people are great about it. And like, we haven't even had to necessarily assign like moderator roles or anything like that. People are just very respectful.
Right.
And share responsibly kind of what they're interested in and get solicit some feedback and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was really a great just a great meetup. It was just so fun to talk to folks.
Yeah.
So, but we are kind of winding down our weekend. Was there anything else that we needed to talk about?
I don't think so.
Yeah. And this is going to be our July episode. We know it's going to be a little bit short, but that's, you know, we usually try to kind of limit ourselves in July just because that we need a month somewhere in the year where we're not doing as much. Mm-hmm. And so July, we'll usually try to do something very simple and easy. And so this time around, we wanted to give you an update from this. So if you're thinking about coming out to conventions like this, you know, always investigate, make sure that they are, you know, good, responsible conventions and stuff like that. But this Mystic South one, I would always recommend to folks.
Yeah, I like to make sure they're, I mean, you guys know this, but I don't know. I guess I just want to put a little PSA. I like to make sure they're inclusive mm-hmm. and, you know, like that they're actually promoting forms of witchcraft that I can kind of proudly stand beside, yeah. Not necessarily behind, you know, because not every practice or ritual or things like that are going to be for you. But, you know, it's not like, like Corey and I were talking about how a lot of Norse type mm-hmm. of things are starting to be kind of associated with white supremacy, and how we right. want to make sure that that's not kind of creeping in right. to these spaces, things like that. Yeah. So,
and I know a lot of really good Norse and heathen practitioners.
Me too.
Who are absolutely anti-white supremacy yeah. and wonderful about it. But the problem, of course, is that there's just enough people who have co-opted that stuff and mm-hmm. made it really loud and obnoxious and, you know, dangerous for other folks, so that we have to kind of pause and think about that stuff.
Right.
But I will say Mystic South has been very, very good about being inclusive, particularly queer inclusive. And they're getting better and better about kind of being BIPOC inclusive, mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, it makes sense because we're in Atlanta, which is a very diverse city.
Right.
And so they're doing a really good job of kind of like making that happen. So I really appreciate that. And yeah, I have a good time when I'm here.
Me too. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. The one I like to come to. So,
yeah.
So yeah. So, you know, this isn't a whole lot of magic, but it hopefully gives you a sense of what it's like to come to one of these events. It's only like 3 days that we've been here, and there's so much. You get so much packed into an event like this. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about doing one, you know, check it out. Think about like maybe coming out and spending it, you know, you can usually get day passes for even one day of it, and you still get some workshops and the chance to hang out with folks, and it's really cool. It's a really neat thing. So but yeah, I think that's kind of us for the month.
I think so.
We'll be back in August with some more discussions. We've already started talking about possible topics for the future, even just based on some of the stuff that we did here. So there'll be a lot more with that. We all have some interviews coming up. I've got a few of those in the can already. So we've got a lot coming over the next couple of months, and hopefully you don't mind that we're doing something a little light and
laid back
for this month. So, but if you have thoughts on, you know, this episode, if you want to share some conferences that you really enjoyed or conference experiences that you've had, we'd love to hear about those. If you want copies of the papers that I presented, I am going to try and make those available online for anybody who wants them. So you can kind of check those out. They'll be the draft versions, not the like final refined versions, just because I'm still working on them, but you can certainly get those. And then there's, you know, we'll put links to the people we've talked about, in our show notes, and we'll put a link to Mystic South as well. So you can kind of check it out and see if you're interested in coming next year. But if you want to reach out to us, you can do that at compassandkey@gmail.com or newworldwitcherypodcast@gmail.com.
Our website is newworldwitchery.com, where you can leave a comment or stream a whole bunch of back episodes.
Yeah. We know like a lot of the streaming services only catch the most recent 100 episodes of our show, just because of the way that our feed works. But all of our episodes are available on our website. So you can find them there.
Yeah.
And if you do want to join our Patreon community, please feel free to do that. Patreon.com/newworldwitchery. $1 a month gets you access to the Discord server, gets you into the whole Magilla. higher levels get other things, which we're a little behind on, but we're going to be trying to catch up with as we get to the end of the year. So
yeah,
you know, we've kind of been holding off because we've got a book coming out. We want to include.
Yeah, we want to give people the book, but it's pushing back things, and so yeah.
But we'll get there. We're going to get there. So
that's right.
But yeah, that'll kind of do it for us this time around. I will say, tragic moment, sadness. We no longer have our number, our phone number.
Oh, that is sad.
It's finally expired. So
that right when I memorized it too.
I know, but that's okay. I don't. We hadn't gotten voicemails on it in almost 2 years at that point.
Right.
So that's okay.
That is okay.
So yeah. So we hope that you are having a wonderful summer and staying as cool as possible. But for now, thanks for listening.
Be well.
New World Witchery is a production of New World Witchery Podcasts and is released under a Creative Commons Share and Share Alike license. The title and closing music for this episode is Woman Blues by Paul F. Guernos, licensed from AudioSocket.